Did I give it away or was it persuasion? You all in my space, owe it. I don't care what you say, I'm loving it this way. I'm hoping that you stay, owe it. It's only you.
Welcome back to Self-Made and Single, and I'm your host, as you know and love, hopefully, Rachel Rose. So today we've got a really, really, really interesting guest, and I know all the guests are interesting, but this particular guest is absolutely fabulous. She's from a state that I haven't had on the show yet. I know I've had a lot of you Americans on the show, which, you know, I love you guys really deep in my heart. We have Demetria Bowie all the way from Louisiana, which I've just learned is near New Orleans. So, you know, guys, I'm really getting to know the US map at this point. So Demetria is an author, entrepreneur, event host, and also a magazine owner. And today we're talking about Believe and Receive. She's got such a powerful story to share with you, and I can't wait for her to tell you more. Welcome, Demetria.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to have you. We've just been having a bit of a laugh. Yes. Demetria's last name is French, and I was just like, oh, when you come over this side of the world, just be like, I'm French. Like, I'm one of you guys. And the French will be like, So we're already cousins, we're already European cousins in the bloodline. So anyway, enough about all of that. Like, tell us all about you. Tell us about who you are, your business, and what's inspired you to do what you do.
So I am 37 years old. I am, again, from Louisiana. I was trying to give you the closest area, like Shreveport, Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we live in some small towns and people don't know this area. So closer to more like Shreveport, Baton Rouge, areas like that. I have one son and he just turned 11 actually 2 days ago.
Oh, happy birthday to him.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And I have the new book, From Broken Woman to Business Woman, mm-hmm. and the magazine for women, empowering women to speak out. And yes. I host yearly conferences for female and male entrepreneurs around different cities.
Amazing. And so what's inspired you to do all of this? Because it sounds very much like your flavor is getting people who have not necessarily had the easiest life and building them up. Like, that's the vibe I'm getting from you. So where does that come from? Where did that come from?
Thank you. So
she's got a handyman, guys. It's totally fine. You know, on this show, we just roll with the punches. She's got a handyman. No, do not worry.
Maybe we can edit this part out.
Yeah, no, do you know what? On this show, we are raw and ready. Okay. So people are going to be like, oh, okay, that's just normal. Like, yeah, do not worry. The other day, my cat just came in like meowing. So it's normal. This is life. This is what people want. We want to know your real life.
sorry about that. Okay. We are free to go now. Okay.
Yes. So tell us, like, you know, because everyone, I guess, I feel when they niche in something, it's because there's something powerful that's happened in their life. So like, what's happened in your life to make you want to focus on what you focus on?
Yes. So I talk about how just all of this really began. So at the age of 16, I was almost molested by a family member, my aunt's husband. And when that happened, it affected my adulthood of me having relationships romantically, relationships with, you know, meeting different people and things like that. And when it happened, you know, I had a family member that was a witness to what happened, and I wasn't protected. Mm-hmm. No one called the police. No one did absolutely anything. And ever since I was just 16, you know, growing up, I felt like so much was my fault. And mm-hmm. so it affected me growing up. So, yeah, that's where a lot of the inspiration come from, was that 16-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what's incredible, I know offline I was saying, like, you know, we do have a lot of similarities, and you're lucky that you were saved, right? And, you know, at least it didn't happen. You know, trigger warning for anyone listening, like, it did happen to me. And this, like, you just go through years and years and years thinking it's your fault, right? And, but not only just thinking that was your fault, but everything's your fault, and like tiptoeing around people. And it is like, I don't know, like, if you can resonate with this, but it's like a magnet for the worst kind of partners, because they're like, oh, you have no self-esteem. Great. I can just dump everything on you and project all of my wounds onto you, and you're just going to take it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy. And yeah, so what happened that, you know, again, another trigger warning. And of course, if this is difficult to listen to, you're welcome to fast forward or skip the episode. But what was it that, how was it stopped, is what I want to ask you, if you don't mind sharing.
Yeah. So basically, at the age of 18, my dad had passed away. Mm, I ended up moving from Louisiana to Virginia, feeling that my life would just get better at some point. And it really didn't. And again, I had a hard time choosing partners. Mm-hmm. I had a hard time. I ended up becoming homeless when I was 22 years old. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade. But I ended up getting my GED and going to college when I was 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that just really, it just really affected my life, you know, again, just feeling like so much is your fault through life. Mm-hmm. And I ended up meeting this guy through this line at the age of 25, and he wanted to get married like 2 months later. And I didn't want to get married to him. I wasn't attracted to him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this, because I'm like, I don't want to disappoint him. And then it goes back to that 16-year-old girl, you know, that 12-year-old girl who had suicidal thoughts, who didn't feel like she belonged in this world. Mm. I didn't want to disappoint him. I didn't want anything to be my fault, you know. And so I went ahead and did it. And, you know, I found myself just in relationship after relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really, really familiar. And you know, it's, you know, for us, we're like, yeah, that was our reality, being suicidal that young. And I know people listening are gonna be like, what, like, why would you even, you know, how? Mm-hmm. But for us, you know, it's particularly as, you know, two strong Black women, like, there's something in us that it's like, when it comes to trauma, there's a layer of strength. And I'm not saying other races don't have this, of course not, but it's this, because I remember speaking with a psychotherapist about this, and she's not Black, and she was like, you're just like talking about this like it's normal. And it's like, yes, because there's something about our history that's made us have this thicker skin when it comes to those kind of things. But you know, it's not normal at the same time, you know, and we are aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? It wasn't easy. It wasn't something that I just started talking about overnight. You know, now I'm 37 years old. I mean, it took a long time for me to talk about this because, you know, after this happened, you know, I felt like, you know, somebody was going to do something about it. It was told to me, you know, be quiet. What goes on here stays on in here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, writing my first book called Refuse to Lose, I started writing in my homeless season, you know, trying to become an entrepreneur then. And, you know, I had a hard time. I was, you know, I just remember walking into a Goodwill store and I was homeless. I had no food. I had no clothes, really. I remember having this two-door green Saturn that I was in and, you know, I had nowhere to go. But I remember walking into that Goodwill store and this lady, she bought me a notebook and she bought me this book by Joyce Meyer. I still have that book today. And I left out of there. And through everything that I have been through, it was just balled up inside of me. And I was like, I can't go on like this. And I was like, God, I'm going to live or I'm going to die. And so when I went to that car, I began writing because I was like, you know what? They said I couldn't talk about it, but they didn't say I couldn't write about it.
Loophole.
I'm just going to write everything down. So I started from where I remember. And at this time, it was all healing for me. It was it was this powerful inner healing that I knew that needed to take place because I'm like, you know, suicidal thoughts, you know, all of these things was going on. And I just began to write about my life. It wasn't about branding. It wasn't about me being on the front cover of a book. It wasn't about getting a bag. It wasn't about any of that. It was about doing this internal work that was needed. And that was my start. And I know a lot of people ask, like, but how? You know, and I was like, I go back to that 9-year-old girl when I used to write a lot. And even if I couldn't spell the words or whatever, but I used to just love to just write things and visualize having different things at the age of 9 years old. And so I was like, I'm still here. I'm homeless. I have no food. There was a lot going on. I was living in a shack house. Somebody said, oh, you can just walk and live in there. And it was 19 degrees in Richmond at this time. And I'm living in this shack house with no heat.
And that's Fahrenheit. And, so what's that? That's cold. That's
With no heat. Cold
Celsius.
It's an old house. When I say an old house, it was old. And I was living in there and I was still just wrapped up in whatever I found in that room. And I was writing. I was writing down from what I could remember as a child and what do I do now? And so, yeah.
And so my question, because I know from experience that my relationship with men, oh my God, it was something that because I have an older brother, but my older brother was pretty, if he wasn't physically absent, he was emotionally absent, like even when he was there. Same with my father. If he wasn't physically, then he was emotionally. So, you know, this person had a fantastic opportunity. It's like, wow, no male figure. And your mom is emotionally absent as well. And she has to be a single mother. Great. You know, and, you know, that's where, unfortunately, predators do take advantage because they can see like no one is protecting this child. And what's interesting is I don't even think it was even as late as my 20s. I think it was even after that, you know, your relationship with men in general is just completely turned upside down. I know for myself, like, it was very hard to trust even like someone's father or just any kind of authority figure that was male, because it was like, I don't know, like, are all men like this? You know what I mean? But then dating as an adult, I just felt like it was Russian roulette, like learning how men are, like how women should be and all this kind of stuff. So like, how did you like see men, I guess, when you entered like your proper adulthood, like past 20s?
Oh, wow. It got to the point where I really didn't want to associate with men. But I also didn't want to feel alone. So I would have the company, have the sex, have the, you know, I wanted the hugs and et cetera, you know, all that because I didn't want to feel alone either. And so I got married when I was 25. And again, it lasted only 6 months. You know, I ended up marrying him and he wasn't a bad guy. You know, I can't say that he was a bad guy because we both hadn't dealt with our past. He was 20, well, I was 25 and he was 38. And we both had not dealt with our past. So there was a lot that he was holding on and I didn't know how to talk to him. And there was a lot that, you know, we both was holding on and we didn't know how to talk to each other. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it ended. And, you know, I ended up getting into another relationship. After I left, I was like, what was needed next? Oh, I need another relationship.
Okay.
And I got into another relationship. He proposed, but we did not get married. Okay. And after that was over, it was like, oh, what do I need now? Another relationship.
Okay.
And I get into another relationship and I ended up marrying him.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
I married him broken. Mm-hmm. I was broken. I was lost. I knew I shouldn't have married him. His mom told me, don't marry him.
His mom? what was her reasoning?
She took me to a ride. I talk about it in the book. I really don't air a lot of, but he was an alcoholic.
Okay.
Yes, he was an alcoholic. You know, didn't work, nothing. Everything was on me, cheated on me a whole lot. I did not get to experience a marriage. Because he came here, it was like he visited, but he was still living with his mom.
Right.
And so I didn't get to fully experience the marriage because when we got married, he was actually in another relationship. Yeah, I talk about it in the book. And he was intoxicated. So I don't think that marriage count.
No. Well, at the wedding he was drunk.
He was twisted.
No, that doesn't count. Could you not get an annulment for that? Because he's like under the influence.
Yes, you know what? I wanted to, but I was like, so many people are here. And then it goes back to that 16-year-old girl, like, I did want to disappoint
people.
Yeah. I was such a people pleaser.
Mm.
And the marriage was crazy. You know, he stayed on the phone the night of the marriage. He stayed on the phone with the woman until 5 o'clock in the morning. He was in the bathroom. And he had a whole nother relationship. And so basically I was cheated on the entire marriage. I don't even call it a marriage, but anyway, I ended up going to the doctor.
Okay.
And I was pre-diabetic. They said your cholesterol is high, your blood pressure is high. Here I am at 310 pounds, never seen that on a scale before in my entire life.
310, hold on, let me see. Because this, pounds. You're talking pounds and we're crap here. We use kilos.
I use kilos.
I need to get my metrics.
It's about a size 24 in pants. In women,
got you. I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that due to all of the stress and just all?
I was eating McDonald's. I was eating whatever came my way. I was eating, and it was stress eating. And so, the wake up call for me was that.
Yeah.
And when I went home and I told him, when I got in the car and I told him and. Only thing he said to me, he said, oh, okay. Can I have $9 to buy some Coke 45?
Stop.
Yeah, he needed beer. And so he was drinking malt liquor. So he asked for the $9. And this was money that I was making from my business. My business was flourishing. And I did not see a penny. Didn't know what I did with the money and absolutely anything. But, he was intoxicated. And again, I mean, that was all the time, but it was just a wake up call for me. And he was just himself. But yeah, that was definitely my wake up call. And I went to the courthouse while he was in the car, intoxicated. He didn't know that I went in the courthouse and filed for a divorce. He was in the car. He was asleep. I left the car running. And I filed for a divorce. And I
imagine.
Came out.
Passed out and someone's filing for divorce and you're in the car. It's like, what? That's wild.
Yes, I was done. And I filed and the lady, she asked me, I said, man, this is going to be so hard. And she said, do you want to pay the extra $75 to get the judge to sign off for him? And I said, y'all can do that. She said, yes. And so.
Like, it's just an auto divorce.
Oh, yeah. I paid the $300 and I paid the extra $75. And she said, oh, it'll be done in about a week or two. But I ended up getting it like 2 months later or something like that. But okay. That day when I left, she said she stamped it. And she said, consider yourself divorced today.
Oh my God.
She said, consider yourself divorced today. And I went home and I said, you know what? I'm worthy of more in my life. Mm. And I began to speak those words to me. And he left. I called his mom to come get him. And he left. I never talked to him another day in my life. Good. You know, and from that day, 2020, I was getting ready to get into another relationship, but I took a step back and I began to listen to that intuition, that inner me. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I was never taught self-love and I need this for me. And so since 2020, I have not dated. And, you know, on social media. Yes. And like on social media, it's so many relationship coaches and everybody just date. And I'm just like, you know what? That's not the answer. That's not the answer for me. And I began to learn about energy and it's real because just going out on all these dates and sitting down in the presence of people, you know, of different men and women, that energy pulls off on you. You don't even have to have sex with someone. People think that that energy rubbing off on you just comes through sex and intimacy. No, it comes through who you're sitting down eating with.
Yes.
Who are you talking on the phone with? Mm-hmm. Who are you engaging with daily? What do you think about daily? What do you speak out of your mouth daily? All of that is energy. And I say, you know what? No more dates for me. No more dates for me. And I took time out and I ordered some mats and things. It didn't happen overnight. I started working out maybe about 9 months later. And there was so much I was finding out about myself. I was like, I didn't even know I knew that I love working out every day. And I joined this Grow with Joe on YouTube. And I put my mat out and I will work out at home. I said, you know what? Because I don't need a gym. No. You know, that would be my excuse for not working out. And about 4 months later, I lost 42 pounds.
Amazing.
And yes, so I lost 42 pounds and I went from a size 24 to an 18.
Very good. Wow.
So I was just like, you know what? Self-love is like, what makes me happy? And I said, I'm going to go buy me a fan. And I bought this biggest fan they had. And I said, I'm just going to go home and drink my wine and just let this fan blow on me. And I was like, this is what makes me happy today. Turn on Lifetime. This is what makes me happy every day. This, you know, that day. And I was like, you know what? Find your own happiness. Follow your own path and what makes you happy. And I changed my mindset and the way I see myself. I was like, I like me. I like me. I like what I do. I like how I do it. You know, people ask me, what's my biggest achievement? I was like, I like me.
Yes.
I like me now.
Yeah. That's and that's so important from when someone takes that away from you so young, isn't it? Like to like yourself again. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And you know what? I know we use that word again, but I never liked me. So it wasn't again because I never like me. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was capable of. I didn't know that my words had power. I didn't know that I had a voice because I was told to be silent at such a young age. And I was just like, this could have happened to so many people in our family. And when I wrote that book, I said, you know what? I pray that this break the chains in this family.
Yeah.
And I had to forgive. I had to go back and forgive the man who, you know, almost molested me. And I had to face him at the post office. I spoke to him. I spoke to him and even sat beside him at a party. And it probably rocked his world or made him feel more guilty than anything. But that wasn't, I had no revenge. I was absolutely, actually forgave him. No hate in my heart, absolutely nothing. And anybody else that didn't protect me or whatever, but mostly I forgave myself, you know? And I said, if I need to, if, even if I need to apologize to anybody, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You so know? Brave. Wow. Yeah. The courage. The courage, because not everyone can sit next to someone like that and not be like, wow, do you know what? I was about to say some like possible violent things just now. I was like,
yes. I mean, you know what? It, you know what? True, it happened.
Yeah.
It happened when I first came back to Louisiana, when I moved back here from Virginia. I seen him and I was in a car and I said, I said, God, should I run him over? He was walking across the street. And I said, should I just run him over? And my hands was on the steering wheel. And I was looking at, but and then I looked at my son in the backseat. And I
had a
no.
feeling that it was like something divine is going to come in. And it's like, no, I've got a whole
And he was about 8 months. Yeah, he was about 8 months. And I said, well, I'll do this while the baby in the car.
No, he needs you. Yes. And you know, you've been chosen, you know, you've been chosen to break the cycle. So you've got a way bigger purpose than, and you know what? Also, karma will get him if it hasn't got him already.
Oh, he passed away 4 months ago.
There you go. There you go. So you've got closure, you know, you've sat next to him. You've showed him how strong you are.
Yeah.
And it's done, you know, and we have the incredible product, which is you.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Yeah.
So like, so I know you're on a cleanse. You've been on a cleanse since 2020. So what are some of the things do you think that have come up that you, that are really notable about the dating experience? Because as you said, you've been in back-to-back relationships and then you've been properly single as of 2020, the COVID year. So, you know, what kind of things have surprised you, for example, in the dating game?
Oh, wow. You know what? I conversated with a couple of people and it didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
The conversation did not last long. And I see that people are trying to enter new relationships and through being hurt from the last. And people are trying to enter something new and they are still in situations with other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have not cleared absolutely anything in their life. They haven't taken a break. They haven't healed. They haven't dealt with what needs to be dealt with in their life. And they try to enter new relationships. And that's what I got from it, because I ended up talking to one guy and I said, you know, what do you want? He could not tell me, but it was, oh, let's go out on a date. Let's meet. No. I said, what do you want in life? What is it that you want? And this is a man that was 43 years old.
Honey, we know age and maturity.
They don't correlate. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? This is what I have learned. And I said, oh, wow. You know, I've grown so much. So when I have a conversation with somebody, I don't need to go out on a date with you, because I pick up so much in just the first beginning, you know, and now I'm like, you know, I choose who I spend my time with over the phone, in person, all of that, you know? So that's one thing that I experienced. People are trying to enter new relationships, trying to move somewhere new, you know.
Yes, that's another one, right?
Yeah, become, you know, keep meeting people off the dating chat line. They've been on there for years, just meeting. And then they'll use the thing, oh, I can't find anybody. I can't. And it's kind of like that. I'm so thankful that I took a break, because I'm like, now, you know what? I can meet somebody and I can up my standards, because I can now, when I meet somebody now, guess what? I'm not bitter or trying to enter a new relationship and I'm hurt. Mm. I haven't dealt with the past. And so that's the reason why a lot of people get on the phone and all they can talk about the last person, what they did to them.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she did this, she cheated, she did this, she was mean, she was dead, she wasn't no good. Oh, he did this, he ain't no good father. And so they get on relationships and they get on the phone and all they can talk about is past relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, who was the worst partner they ever had and all this. Nothing new.
No.
And
no.
So yeah, that's a couple of things that I've noticed.
it's so interesting because I know when you were talking about that, I just felt to myself, oh my god, like I just, there is a big fear of, and I know there's lots of women that are complaining about the quality of the dating pool right now, but there's a huge fear of being alone and having that gap. And there's a part of me that feels like COVID is not to blame, but it is a catalyst for that, because we all had to be alone whether we liked it or not. And I feel like, and you know, there's a lot of people that develop businesses out of it, or they had just their spiritual transformation. They took it in a positive way. And there are other people that may have never been the same since COVID because it took them to such a dark place and they don't want to go back there. So they are just like bookmarking next relationships to go into to try and fill that void. But like you said, you know, you need that break. And I know, you know, sometimes when you're ending one relationship, you may very well have met someone else, possibly, right? Mm-hmm. But unless you have that gap, you can't rewire the neural pathways that you've had fixed in that last relationship. So things that, you know, the way that you view the relationship or the way someone does something, you've got a circuit in your brain that tells you that X and Y equals Z. So you can't rewire that unless you have that break. And that break needs to be a substantial break, not, oh, I've had a week. All right.
Yes, that 2 week a week. I've done that before. Oh, wow. It's been too long. It's been a month. Yeah. Woohoo. You know, so.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, you got to give yourself a good chance, like you said. And I love how you said, like, you know, that gap, like instead of people seeing it as, oh, this fucking punishment, like I have to be on my own, you get to up level. You get to be like, I'm not having that again. All right, I want this. I want a Dubai Habibi. I want a hot hunky something, and I want them to treat me like this. And I, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's your opportunity, you know, to do that.
Yeah. So. And you know what I tell women, because again, what you just said, they feel like they are being punished. Like they've been punished. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. They're being punished and they don't feel they should be alone or anything like that. But I tell people, sometimes this journey can be a lonely journey.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. Guess what? It's only for a season though. And guess what? And when you come out of that season, you're going to be renewed. You're going to be ready. You can enter that newness of yourself, a loving relationship, new people, new opportunities, all of that. You can enter it fresh and with this thing of self-love. And so for me, I have, I know what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm crystal clear when I speak now, because the last podcast that I did, I talked about how my second husband, I talked about how I got a ring that cost $16 and how it turned my finger brown green.
Wait, for your engagement ring?
My wedding ring.
Did it look like it was $16?
I didn't really know.
Okay.
I know now. I know what a diamond is. Listen, your girl know what real diamonds are now. But at the time, I would, you know, before I got married to him, I was always speaking like, oh, okay, I just want to be loved. It don't matter what the ring looked like. Oh, as long as he loved me. And guess what? I was speaking those words out of my mouth. It didn't matter. I just want him to love me. Remember, everybody love is different.
That's
the reason why you have to be crystal clear on what you want. What does that love look like? What does it look like? And I wasn't crystal clear about nothing. My prayers wasn't clear. My words wasn't clear. And so when I say, oh, a ring don't matter. And I hear women say it a lot. Oh, it doesn't matter as long as he loved me. Oh, the ring doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. Oh, this doesn't mean, and it does. Your sis was on antibiotics for 5 days because of a fake ring.
Stop it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I found out it came from Walmart. It's a whole story behind it. I'll send you a little clip of me talking about it.
But do you know what? Right. I love what you said, like, about love. Like, everyone, because I feel like sometimes we invalidate other people's version of love. You don't love me. It's like, actually, you do love me, inverted commas, just your version of love. Not everyone's version of love is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad thing because that's their love.
Yeah. Wow.
That's their love. And so my thing is, I wrote down what I wanted. And it had nothing to do with him being 6'4", dark skinned, handsome. Mm. Oh, I want him to be a man that prays like David.
That sounds like a sexy guy. I was like, oh.
But it had nothing to do with Ruth and you know, I want him to, Boaz is dead. It had nothing to do with absolutely none of that.
Wait, what's it Boaz?
Well, you know, in the Bible, they talk about with Ruth. Do you know the story of Ruth?
I don't know the story. Do you know what's crazy? Because I was like born in a Jehovah's Witness household and we were the Bible. But I'm like, I don't know that story. Tell me. I'm not anymore though.
Yes. So it's a story in the Bible when Ruth met Boaz and he had a whole bunch of money and she was working in the field and she ended up just meeting this wealthy man. Mm-hmm. But he ended up passing away. Yeah, he ended up passing away at an old age and he was old. And so basically a lot of people always, I want my Boaz, or blah, blah. I'm not religious. I've come out of that
religious thing.
Too. I am not religious. So my biggest thing is I am
spiritual.
I'm a manifester of speaking those things that do not. As though they already are, calling those things like they already are, you know, calling those things that you want, you know, even though you can't see it right now, but see it, you know. And I wrote down what I wanted. Mm. What do I want? And I don't share my vision board with everybody. I mean, and with nobody at all. I don't post it on social media. Mm. Absolutely nothing like that. Mm. And I give that advice to women. Is to take time for you. And it's not forever. It's just for a season. Yes. And it's okay to find out what makes you happy. Because the man that is out there for you, please know that he's already prepared if that's what you want. Mm. If you want a guy that's wealthy and you want to live in a certain type of house, don't feel bad for it. And don't let nobody else make you feel bad for wanting a guy who is financially stable, who wanted a man who is emotionally stable, who's, you know, all of that.
Exactly.
Who's mentally stable. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that. Write that down.
Exactly.
And then begin to be thankful.
Call it in.
Yeah. Begin to be thankful as though you already have it. Mm. And stop dating what you don't want.
Yes.
Yeah. You out here, you still entertaining the man who who's complaining about buying $5 candy bars. You're still dating the guy who can't even get a house. Mm. You're still dating the guy, you know, you're dating what you don't want.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't let nobody make you feel guilty about what you do want. And that's the reason why a lot of things that I do want, I keep it to myself. Mm. Because you want to keep your faith. And you want to keep your vibrations high.
Mm.
And you want to keep your energy good.
Exactly.
And you want to keep yourself in peace. And when you begin to speak this every day, even if you don't see what you're writing down, even if you don't see what you're speaking, continue to keep speaking it and continue to keep seeing it and watch. It's going to manifest. It's going to manifest right before your eyes. There are two things that I manifested in my life. And I was praying for it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, this is what I want. This is what. But when I calmed down and I relaxed and I began to be thankful for it. And literally 2 days later, it was there. It was there. Nice. And it's like, just see yourself having it. See yourself with it. And if you want the peace and the joy and all of that, remove stuff that don't make you happy. Remove the people that don't make you happy. Remove things that don't bring you joy. Remove people that don't bring you joy.
Yes.
You know,
it's so important. Yeah. And I think, like, I know we're super going over, but it's like, it's so important in terms of your personal. No. We're so deep into it. I actually cannot wait for this episode to go live, because this is one of the most, it's just so juicy and just so good and natural. And but no, your circle is so important. Like, you'd be surprised that people that you're calling friends are actually blocking that. Not because they're bad people, but it's because in your journey, they're blocking that manifestation coming in, because you guys have a collective belief that's limiting you, you know?
You can limit yourself.
Exactly.
You can limit. I've done it my whole life. I limit myself from not forgiving. I limit myself from the people I was around. I limit myself by having a big mouth, telling all of my business, telling my next moves. You can limit yourself.
Yes. My lovely Demetria, my Greek-French goddess from Louisiana, where can people find you? Because I'm sure they're going to want to find you. I don't want to leave, to be honest, but I know I have to leave. I've got a concert. I've got to go. I'm supporting someone I actually interviewed. Shout out Nessie Gomez. She's amazing. She's British Portuguese. So she's been touring everywhere. And I'm like, London booked. I'm going to see you. I'm going to find you. I'm going to kiss you.
Oh, wow. Yes.
I'm gonna
make me want to do a conference in London. My god, I got my passport. Ready.
London, like, you're French, so it could be Paris. I'm happy wherever.
People can find me on Instagram at Demetria For Real, FOR, and I'm on Facebook at Demetria Bowie. So find me. I'll be in the Instagram streets. So find me on either one.
Amazing.